I even be able to blend into his life here? Pretty sure the answer was not at all. He must have noticed the look of worry on my face.
What's wrong, Luca? Talk to me. I'm still the guy you can tell anything to, despite all this ostentatious crap you see around you right now. Ignore all that, and tell me what's on your mind.
After a few seconds of silence, I looked into his eyes. How could this ever possibly work, Griffin? He took my hand in his.
Crazier things have happened. For one, I've been in a relationship with pieces of fucking paper and words for the past several weeks. They were my only window into your soul. And you know what? They made me happier than I have been in a very long time, even with just the letters and nothing more.
But now we can't ever go back to that. Can't ever go back to what we had. You deserve more than some woman who can hardly leave her house except to go food shopping in the middle of the night. It's only a matter of time before you figure out that there is no way for this to realistically work. You don't realize how limited I am. He stared off in thought. When he looked into my eyes again, he asked,
Will you do me a favor?
Yes.
Can you put all of the reasons we're wrong for each other on hold for one night and just be with me? Because while you're worrying about the future, I can't stop thinking about how damn lucky I am that my dream girl drove all the way across the country to see me. The real me. I'm on a high right now that you can't even imagine, Luca. And while you're sitting here trying to convince me that it could never work between us, all I can think about is whether you taste as good as you fucking make me feel.
He squeezed my hand.
Can you do that? Can you just be with me and fuck the rest for a little while?
How can I say no to that? My eyes were watering. Yeah, I can do that.
Good.
He stood up.
How about I show you around a little bit?
I'd love that. Griffin gave me the grand tour of his massive house. One of the stops was the downstairs home theater that featured several rows of plush seats along with a popcorn machine. We plopped ourselves down into two of the seats. He rubbed his hand along the arm of the velour chair.
I have this great theater that I don't even use. When I do watch movies, it's usually alone at night in my room after a long day at the studio. I can't remember the last time I watched something down here.
That seems like such a waste.
Yeah. Well, this room is made for more than one person. And when you can't even count on one hand the number of people you trust, well, it's kind of hard to fill a theater.
He shook his head, seeming to catch himself getting into serious territory.
I'll tell you one thing, though, Ryan. When they make a fucking movie out of one of your books, you'd better damn well bet I'll be screening it down here.
That made me smile. Next, he took me upstairs and showed me the bedrooms. There were five in total. The one at the end of the hallway was his, the master. Stepping into Griffin's bedroom felt a little intrusive for some reason. I looked around for a bit. There was a lit electric fireplace. His bed had a massive fabric headboard. The heavy drapes were made of gray satin. This is gorgeous. I walked around, then turned to him. I can imagine this room has seen more action than your theater. Even though I was sort of teasing with that statement, a part of me knew I was really digging for information about exactly how promiscuous he'd actually been. He didn't look the least bit amused.
You'd be surprised. I haven't taken many women into my bedroom. To me, that's a very intimate thing. Like I said, I had only one serious relationship since all of this happened.
I continued to look around, dumbfounded, as if I'd just entered a sex dungeon. But it wasn't. It was just a regular bedroom. But somehow I was freaking out being inside it. Then Griffin placed his hands on my shoulders.
Why don't we talk about what's really concerning you right now? I didn't want to talk about serious stuff when I only have you for a short time. But I do feel like this needs to be said.
He blew a breath out.
I know what you were thinking when you walked into this room. It scared you a little. I scare you a little. Maybe a lot. You have this idea that I'm a man whore. As I told you before, it was like that for a while. There weren't hundreds, but maybe dozens in the beginning. It gets old real fucking fast, Luca. You know what happens when you can have literally anything. Ironically, You don't want any of it anymore. I miss the chase. I miss being a normal human being. Instead of walking into this room and wanting to lie with me, wanting me to hold you, you were worried about all of the supposed women who had been here before you. That makes me a little sad, really. Especially because at this moment, I can barely remember much of anything that happened before Luca Vinetti showed up at my house. My heart fluttered. I'm sorry for making you feel like you had to explain yourself. Don't apologize. I get it. One of the people you trusted most isn't who you thought he was. But I'm trying to tell you that I am, Luca. I am still him. You just have to look past all of the bullshit to see me. I'm here. I looked deeply into his eyes before pulling him in for a hug. We held each other for the longest time. With each second that passed, my fears seemed to melt away little by little. Or at least they faded into the background, for now. Where am I sleeping tonight? I finally asked.
Wherever you want. You can take your pick of the guest rooms. The only thing I ask is that you not insist on sleeping in the RV. I want you under my roof tonight, because in a little over a day, I lose you again.
I felt the need to better defend my behavior tonight. The reality of the situation is just hitting me in waves, Griffin. But I am going to try to spend the rest of this time focusing on the now, and not on anything else beyond that.
Your concerns are normal. Just promise to always be honest with me. I promise to do the same moving forward. You need to tell me what you're afraid of, especially when the object of your fear is me. There shouldn't be any elephants in the room, or pigs, for that matter.
He smiled.
But please, I'm begging you, don't be afraid of me. Trust what's in your heart. Trust in what made you get into that RV and come here in the first place. I promise, if you can do that, I'll try like hell not to let you down.
Blind faith, I whispered.
Yes, except the blind part isn't so literal anymore, now that we can look at each other, and perhaps do some other things when the time is right.
He flashed a crooked smile. Griffin and I hung out by the electric fireplace and talked until the wee hours of the morning. He told me more about the road to becoming a star. It turned out he'd actually been discovered by an American talent agent while singing in a bar in London. The agent then paid to have Griffin travel to the United States, but that arrangement never went anywhere. Ultimately, while here, Griffin met his current bandmates when each was auditioning at the same time for a music competition show. The group of rejects formed a bond and eventually became Archer. Later, I showed him all my books online and bit my nails as he purchased and downloaded each one to his e-reader. When it was nearing 2 a.m., I could no longer keep my eyes open. I was still so exhausted from the trip out here. Griffin set me up in one of his guest bedrooms. I chose the one closest to him. As tired as my body was, I just couldn't fall asleep. I was completely wired, not to mention I had to pee. This particular room didn't have its own bathroom, so I would have to use the one that was down the hallway. After I ventured over there, just as I was exiting, I smacked right into Griffin's hard chest.
Whoa, shit. Are you all right? I didn't see you in the dark, he said.
Yeah, I'm fine. He rubbed my forehead.
You sure?
Yeah.
I was just headed to the kitchen for a glass of water, he said. Can I get you anything?
No, thank you. I suppose one of us should have moved. Instead, we stayed close. I could feel the heat of his breath. His mouth lingered over mine, but he didn't kiss me right away. Our mouths were inches apart as he wrapped his hand around my back. I closed my eyes for a moment, and that was when I felt him devouring my lips. For the next 5 minutes, we just stayed there in the dark hallway, making out like teenagers. I knew he would respect my wishes not to try to have sex with me tonight. Yet I wasn't exactly sure I cared anymore at this point. I felt the heat of his cock through his pants pressing against my abdomen. He was so hard. Wetness began to pool between my legs. He whispered over my lips,
I know you don't want to take things too far. I respect that. But let me make you come with my hand.
So desperate for it, I nodded, unable to form words. Griffin licked his fingers before lowering his hand down into my panties. My back was against the wall as he kissed me so hard while his fingers moved in and out of me. He used his thumb to massage my clit. It amazed me that despite our years apart, despite my earlier anxiety, his touching me this way felt so natural. He kissed me harder as he moved his hand faster, pushing his fingers deeper into me with every thrust of his hand. At one point, he stopped, and it was almost painful. He took his hand to his mouth and sucked the fingers that had been inside me. His eyes were closed as he savored the taste. It was so sensual and erotic, like nothing anyone had ever done to me before. My clit was throbbing. He stuck his fingers back inside me, but this time there were three. So turned on, I was ready to come. I bucked my hips. He must have felt my muscles contract when he said, "Come, baby. Come all over my hand. Pretend it's me inside you. I'm so incredibly hard right now." I bent my head back against the wall and just let myself go, my muscles pulsating as I came against his hand. "I love the sounds you make when you come, Luca. So insanely beautiful. I fantasized about that for so long, but nothing came close to the real thing. Nothing." What could I even say? What he'd just done was selfless, really. Panting, I said, "Thank you for that."
"The pleasure was all mine, believe me."
He kissed my forehead.
"Go get some rest. We have a big day tomorrow, and I need to head straight to the shower."
I didn't have to wonder why he'd be showering now. "Okay," I said. "What's happening tomorrow, though?"
"Don't worry. We won't go anywhere. It'll be a big day simply because we're together."
Chapter 16. Griffin. Despite only getting a few hours of sleep, Luca and I were up before 9 a.m. As she stood across from me sipping her coffee, I thought about how surreal it was to have her here with me in my kitchen. The sun shone through the window, bringing out the subtle red highlights in her dark hair. This was a moment I'd never forget. I still wasn't entirely sure how I was going to let her go tomorrow. When she caught me staring at her, I asked, "Have you heard from your friend?"
"No, actually."
"You think he's up?"
"Oh, Doc gets up at the crack of dawn. He probably thinks we're still sleeping. I'm certain he's been up for a while looking for the birds you promised."
She lifted her brow.
"How did you handle that exactly?"
I nudged my head. "Let's go take a look." Reaching for her hand, I led her to a sliding door that opened to the part of my property that overlooked the pool house. In the distance, we could see the good doctor lying out on a lounge chair, surrounded by a variety of birds perched atop the surrounding bird feeders. I was glad to see Aiden had come through for me. Luca's jaw dropped.
"This is a problem."
"Why?"
"He may never want to go home, and then I'll have to find another way to get back."
"Well, we can leave him here in California, and I'll take you back." I winked. She probably didn't think I was half serious, but I would have loved to take a trip with her, to escape this craziness for a while and just enjoy the open road with Luca. Basically, leave Cole in LA and live as Griffin for a bit.
"Are you here in California for a while recording, or do you have any travel coming up?"
she asked. I cringed. "Actually, I have to fly to Vancouver in less than 2 weeks. We're part of the lineup at a music festival out there. Until then, I'll mostly be back in the studio recording." Luca pushed out a smile, but I could see it was bullshit.
"That's great. I'm sure you'll have a good time."
I chose to not call her out on her comment. Time was ticking, and I didn't want to waste another minute of it talking about how different our lives were. What I needed to do was show her that I was still Griffin, even when I was playing the part of Cole. "How about if I make us some breakfast and then we take a little trip in the RV?" Luca immediately looked panicked.
"I'm not good in traffic, Griffin."
I figured she might say that, so I'd already mapped out a route that avoided the busiest roads. The 20-minute trip might take us an hour, but I didn't give a fuck because that hour would be spent with her by my side. "I know. We'll avoid the 405 and leave about 11.
after rush hour traffic passes. Where would we go? I brushed a lock of hair from her face and looked into her eyes. Can you just trust me that I won't do anything to hurt you, love? Her fear was palpable, yet she took a deep breath in and nodded. That's my girl. Now, if only I don't fuck this up. It was a miracle to not hit traffic on the way to the studio. Seriously, a fucking miracle. The gods were definitely watching over me today, because in the years since I'd moved to LA, I'd never seen fewer cars than I did on the drive this morning. I'd talked Luca into letting me drive the RV. Well, actually, she'd originally refused, but after pressing her up against the driver's side door and kissing the shit out of her, she reluctantly agreed. For the first half of the drive, she sat white-knuckled in the passenger seat, holding on for dear life. But after a while, she eased into it, and now it was me who was more nervous than she was. Not about the trip itself, but about the piece of shit I was currently driving. I couldn't believe she had driven this hunk of junk clear across the country. It pulled to the right and swayed with the slightest gust of wind. How old is this thing?
I'm not sure. It's Doc's sister's. He said she's had it for a long time. I know it's older looking, but it has barely any miles on it.
I stopped at a stop sign, and the engine trembled and revved for a minute like it was stuck in gear before sputtering back to normal. When was the last time the tires were checked? I think you have an alignment issue. Luca shrugged.
It pulls a little to the right, but you barely notice it when you're going 70 on the interstate.
Great, that makes me feel a lot better. We drove a few more blocks in silence, mostly because I was making a mental checklist of shit to set into motion once I got to where we were going. Find an RV mechanic to go through this hunk of metal with a fine-tooth comb tonight. Pick up a portable electronic navigation system to set up on the dash. The amount of folded maps and printed directions on the floor was truly mind-boggling. I couldn't imagine Luca driving this big thing through Colorado, up and down the mountainous roads as it swayed in the wind, no less while looking at maps at the same time. It seriously freaked me the hell out. I'd be calling her all day, every day, until she got back to Vermont. Which reminded me. Get Aiden to go to Best Buy and pick up a phone cradle, mount, and headset. When I called to check on her, it would be nice if she could answer without taking her eyes off the road. We turned down the street of our intended destination and I smiled. Aiden was standing curbside waiting for us and had done exactly what I'd asked. Seeing us approach in the RV, he waved and walked into the street to collect some of the orange cones he'd put out to reserve our spot. He'd also blocked off two car lengths in front and behind where the RV would be parked. Luca looked at the man standing in the street and then at me.
Are we here? Who is that guy?
We're here. And that's my assistant, Aiden. I had him come earlier this morning to block a spot for us to park and make sure no one was parked too close to us. She looked around outside.
But where is here?
The blocks surrounding this particular recording studio were heavily industrial. It was mostly just old warehouses that had been turned into artist lofts, storage facilities, and various unmarked filming sets and music videos. This is where I'm recording today. But relax, I don't expect you to come in. Give me a minute to park this thing and I'll explain. Of course, the piece of shit didn't have a rear camera system, so I was glad that Aiden had blocked off all that extra space, and I could just pull in once he'd cleared the cones. I turned off the ignition and reached over and took Luca's hand. You're doing great, just keep trusting me, babe. She nodded, though she looked nervous again. I got out and spoke to Aiden privately for a moment before opening the back door to get into the living area of the RV. Do you mind if I let Aiden in for a minute? He's just going to set up some equipment and he'll be out of your way in no time.
Sure, of course.
I waved Aiden into the RV and did the introductions. Aiden, this is my girl, Luca. Luca, this is the man who saves my ass on a daily basis. Aiden. Aiden leaned forward and shook Luca's hand. Nice to meet you, Luca. It took him less than 5 minutes to set up portable Wi-Fi, a Mac monitor, receiver, and speakers. He handed me a set of Bose wireless headphones. All done. Here you go, boss. I nodded. Thanks. Can you let them know I'll be in and ready to go in 5 minutes?
You got it.
Aiden said goodbye to Luca and climbed out of the RV. She was still sitting in the front passenger seat, so I extended a hand for her to climb from the front into the back.
What in the world are you up to?
She asked. I closed the privacy curtain once she was in the back. Take a seat and let me show you. She settled into the couch and I positioned the monitor on the table across from her and handed her the headset. I have to record for a few hours today. I want you to watch, but I know you don't like crowds in public buildings. Between the sound guys, the mixers, the recording team, and the label execs, there are at least 10 guys in the studio while I work. So I had them set up a video camera in the booth so you can watch while I record, and this headset will let you listen. It'll be like you're watching, but without the crowd. When I saw her face fall, I thought maybe she was disappointed. It had been pretty egotistical to assume she'd want to sit alone in a camper and watch me record, hadn't it? Sorry, you don't have to watch if you don't want. I can tell them I need an hour and take you back home.
No, God, no, I can't wait to watch. I just feel bad about all the trouble you had to go through for me.
I knelt in front of her. Wasn't any trouble at all. And even if it were, you're worth it. Her face softened.
Thank you, Griffin.
I kissed her. You can thank me later. I'll have Aiden make a sign for after I'm done. Don't come a-knockin' when the RVs are rockin'. I went to get up, but Luca tugged my hand back down.
You called me your girl.
My brows drew down.
I did?
She nodded.
When you introduced me to your assistant, you said, "This is my girl, Luca."
I hadn't even noticed, but the truth of the matter was, she was my girl. I shrugged.
You are my girl, Luca.
You'll figure it out too, soon.
Chapter 17. Luca.
Check. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
Griffin had on a set of headphones and leaned into the microphone to speak. I heard some other people talking in the background, but the camera had been set up inside the little recording booth, so the only thing I saw on the big monitor was Griffin's face. Which was fine by me. Honestly, I'd wanted to spend some time staring at him since he knocked on the camper door. This was the perfect opportunity to gawk without him catching me. For the next 15 minutes, Griffin went through a bunch of sound system checks and testing. He stood in the booth repeating words and talking to people. My eyes were glued to the monitor, combing over every inch of his handsome face. He was seriously even more gorgeous than I could have imagined. He had big, beautiful brown eyes with thick, dark lashes lining his lids that almost made it look like he had eyeliner on. His skin was tanned to a light shade of golden brown, and his masculine jaw had day-old stubble on it. I really, really liked the stubble. Just as I was staring, Griffin looked directly at the camera and his voice dropped low.
Guys, this message is for my girl, so close your ears.
He flashed a sexy, crooked smile and then whispered into the microphone,
Babe, I forgot to tell you. I left you a little something in the center console in case the mood strikes while you're watching today.
My belly fluttered. The man was as sweet as he was sexy. Although it was a dangerous combination that seemed to turn my brain into mush, I had to tear myself away from watching the monitor to go to the center console. When I opened it, I started to crack up. Okay, so he was sweet and sexy and a pervert. The crazy man had left me a vibrating Furby keychain. Lord knows how many of these things he actually bought. Smiling like a goofball, I climbed back into the rear of the RV carrying my makeshift vibrator. But I froze hearing Griffin start to sing. Oh my God, his voice is amazing. I knelt on the floor right in front of the monitor, completely entranced at his gritty, soulful voice. Griffin was singing a ballad of some sort, and I felt every word of the song inside my chest in the most overwhelming way. When the song ended, he opened his eyes, and I realized I'd been holding my breath the entire time. I inhaled a few lungfuls of air and let out controlled exhales in an effort to slow down my racing heart. God, I was totally screwed. Totally screwed when it came to this man. I shook my head and looked down at the furry stuffed animal still clutched in my hand. What are we going to do, Mimi? This man is going to break our hearts. Mimi had no answers, so I folded the keychain back into the palm of my hand and shut my eyes. I'm definitely going to be needing you later.
So, what did you think?
Griffin opened the door and climbed into the back of the RV, where I was still sitting on the couch. He'd spent about 3 hours singing, and I'd spent the same amount of time glued to the monitor. It had been an amazing and surprisingly intimate experience. He'd talk to me between takes, and at the end of each song, he'd flash his boyish smile at the camera or give me a wink. I think I'm a groupie. He closed the distance between us, taking a seat on the couch next to me.
Oh, yeah? You want to play groupie and rock star?
He tugged me up from my seat and guided me to straddle his lap. I nodded, wrapping my arms around his neck. Do I get to take off my panties and throw them at your feet? Griffin's eyes darkened.
You take off your panties, and I'll kiss your feet.
I giggled and pressed my forehead to his. Seriously, Griff, that was absolutely incredible. Your voice is just beautiful. I don't even know what to say. It's like you sing from your heart. I could feel so many emotions in your words. I loved every minute of today, but that song you sang at the end, the one about heaven needing her more than you, that song just made me melt. I actually cried a little listening.
I wrote that for my mother.
I nodded. I figured you did. I know I never knew her personally, but I'm certain she's listening and as proud of you as I am. Griffin leaned in and kissed my lips tenderly.
That means a lot to me. Thank you.
A knock came from behind me. Someone was at the camper door. I went to climb off Griffin's lap, but he held me in place.
Stay. It's probably Aiden.
Boss?
A voice called through the closed door. Griffin yelled around me.
Are we all set? The car will be there at 6.
Sweet. Thanks for taking care of everything.
Text me if you need anything else.
See you tomorrow, Aiden.
I looked at Griffin. That was rude. You just had an entire conversation behind a closed door. Griffin smirked.
Babe, scooch your ass toward me a little.
My brows drew together, so Griffin nudged me a bit, pulling me farther down his lap until I felt warmth between my legs and something hard. He saw the knit of my brows lift to understanding.
More polite to talk behind a closed door than with my hard on trying to escape from my pants, don't you think, sweetheart?
Sweetheart. I really liked that name, too. I also really liked the way our bodies were aligned, so I leaned in and kissed him, grinding down on his erection as I threaded my hands into his hair. God, I wanted to feel him inside me so badly it hurt. Griff's fingers dug into my ass, and he started to guide me to rock back and forth on him. We both had on jeans, but the friction between us made the heat rise to an incendiary level. I seriously thought I might be able to come from just our dry humping. But it wasn't my turn. As much as I was terrified to connect with Griffin and get hurt, I didn't want to be selfish either. I broke our kiss and nuzzled his ear. Did you lock the door behind you? He blew out his frustrated answer.
I didn't.
I debated getting up and latching the door shut, but I really didn't want to cool the moment. So I threw caution to the wind and whispered back, Well then, if anyone comes in, I guess they'll be getting a good show. I started to kiss down his neck. When I slipped my hands between us and began to unbuckle Griffin's belt, he groaned.
Fuck.
His head fell back against the couch, and the desire in his voice fueled me. I wanted to make him feel desperate as he'd made me. Grabbing the hem of his shirt, I dipped my head and licked my way from his chest down to his taut abs. I could have spent all day tracing the sculpted lines of his muscles, but I had more pressing things to get to. Sitting up again, I leaned back and unbuttoned his jeans. The sound of each tooth separating as I dragged the zipper down filled the air around us. Griffin watched me as I lifted from his lap and knelt on the floor in front of him. Yanking at the waist of his pants, I slid them down his thighs. The thick bulge that greeted me from his tight boxer briefs heightened my arousal, and I unconsciously licked my lips.
Fuck, Luca.
He groaned. That mouth. That fucking mouth. It was seriously a toss-up who wanted this more. I couldn't wait to make him feel good. The two of us grabbed for his boxers at the same time, both pushing them down in haste. Griffin's erection sprang loose and my mouth salivated. Oh my. Of course he had to be that big. As if his gorgeous face, flawless body, and sexy voice weren't enough, God seriously pulled out all his tricks when he made this man. Leaning up on my knees, I wrapped my hands around the thick girth of him and looked up before lowering my head. Griffin's voice was strained when he spoke. You're so beautiful right now. I smiled and, without a word, wrapped my hand around the base and took him into my mouth, our eyes staying locked the entire time. Jesus Christ. I bobbed up and down a few times, finding my rhythm, and fluttered my tongue along the underside of his crown. Griffin groaned and fisted handfuls of my hair. I loved how his lust made him grow rougher. His bound hands guided my head down farther and then tugged to make me rise again. I'd started this, but he was definitely taking over control. Fuck. Just like that. That feels so good. Griffin lifted his hips and began to pump into my mouth. I was so turned on that I was certain if I reached down and touched myself for even 2 seconds, I'd set myself off. Luca. Griff gave my hair a slight tug, a warning, but I fought against it and kept going. He spoke louder, likely thinking I hadn't heard him the first time. Babe, I'm gonna come. I lifted my eyes to meet his, letting him know that I'd definitely heard him, and then sucked him as deep as I possibly could. Fuck. Griffin gripped my hair even harder and pumped twice more before stilling my head. His entire body shook as the heat of his orgasm spurted into my throat. After, his chest heaved up and down. I was the one performing neck aerobics with a full mouth, yet he was panting like he'd just run a marathon. Griffin released my hair and struggled to catch his breath. Jesus, Luca. You're really fucking good at that. I felt gratified at his praise. I told you, the For Dummies series of porn. He laughed. What else do they have? I'm ordering every movie they ever produced as soon as I get the strength to lift my arms and take out my phone. I got up from the floor and snuggled up against Griffin's side. Pretty sure they had Anal for Dummies, 69 for Dummies, and Ménage à Trois for Dummies, too. But I only watched the one. I'll be buying the first two, but not the Ménage one. Not sharing you, babe. Warmth spread through me, but then a thought hit me and a chill pushed back whatever comfort I'd started to enjoy. Groupie and rock star. This was the life that Griffin led. I was certain he had a line of women who would do what I'd just done for him after every performance. They probably believed he was singing to them, too. I'd gone quiet, and Griffin noticed. He stroked my hair. What's going on in that head of yours, babe? Nothing. He pulled up his jeans and boxers and turned to look at me. Talk to me, Luca. What just happened? We were good, and then we weren't. I shook my head and looked down. Sorry, it's stupid. Griffin tilted my chin to look up at him.
Spill it, Vanetti.
I sighed. I guess, well, you said you weren't sharing me, and I was just thinking you must have dozens of women ready to drop to their knees after a concert, or at the snap of your fingers, even. Griffin held my eyes.
I wish I could make you feel better by telling you that I don't. But I'm not going to lie to you. There definitely is opportunity, but that doesn't mean I want to take it. I know you just got here, and our situation is a little unique, but I wasn't kidding when I said you were my girl. You are my girl, Luca. And you know what? That's probably not the most convenient thing for either one of us, considering our circumstances. But that doesn't change how I feel. I haven't been with another woman in almost 2 months, since you answered my first letter again. Just because I might have women willing doesn't mean I'm willing. You're my girl, Luca. We're going to figure this shit out.
My eyes started to water. I wanted to have his optimism and courage, but I was terrified. Griffin had been honest with me, so I did the same. I'm scared to be your girl, He smiled sadly and cupped my cheek.
It's okay. I know you, Luca. Being scared only lasts for a little while. Then you do something brave. We're not in a rush. We've waited so many years already. What's a little longer?
I turned my head into his hand and kissed his palm. Thank you, Griffin. He kissed my forehead and kept his lips pressed against me. I felt his smile grow against my skin.
Pretty sure I should be thanking you after what just went down.
Chapter 18, Griffin. I really wanted Luca to enjoy her last hours in California. I knew that meant doing everything in my power to make sure we continued to avoid crowds tonight. While I hoped that someday she could overcome her phobia, it wasn't going to happen overnight, and certainly not during this trip. I had to roll with it and try not to push her in any way. Aiden had arranged for a car to pick us up at my house. The driver was instructed to take back roads. I'd rented a private room at my favorite restaurant, which had a back entrance frequently offered up to celebrities. It allowed access right into a dining room which was kept separate from where the other patrons ate. I knew the manager pretty well and trusted his discretion. Marcus was also good at making sure his employees kept mum about my presence, so I felt confident taking Luca there. She and I sat across from each other at our candlelit table, enjoying an intimate dinner. We dug into our salads while waiting for the main course. Luca picked at her greens. Is it weird that I'm actually going to miss the letters? Not a bit. But who says they have to stop? I guess we never discussed it, but I can't imagine we'll continue writing handwritten letters now that we've met. Putting my fork down and reaching across the table for her hand, I said, I want to stay in touch, Luca. I want to hear from you every day, whether it's an email, a phone call, or a fucking singing telegram from someone dressed as a wiener. I just want to hear from you. I could relate to that feeling of impending loss over the letters, though. Our invisible connection was a huge part of us. We would never experience that intimacy quite the same way ever again. I hoped things would be even better now, but Luca's concerns about my life weren't exactly unfounded. I just didn't quite know if I would be able to prove her wrong about whether this could work. I had the will, but did I really have the way? My situation was complicated. Actually, it was more like a complete circus. Our food finally arrived. I'd ordered the filet mignon, and Luca got trout in a garlic lemon sauce. As I cut into my steak, I asked, Have you heard from Doc?
He called me right before the car came to pick us up. The connection was staticky, so I couldn't really make out what he was saying, but he sounded so happy. Where did you have the driver take him?
I called the zoo and asked if I could rent out the aviary after it closed. That's where he is right now. He has it all to himself. Luca smiled wide.
Wow, he must be overjoyed. Thank you for arranging that. For someone who adopted a minimalist life back home, Doc sure seems to be getting acclimated to your pool house housekeeper and all of the special treatment.
Well, he's welcome back anytime. Any friend of yours is a friend of mine. I hope you know that.
Thank you, truly. Thank you for your hospitality.
It's my pleasure. I owe Doc a lot for helping to get you here. It was a gift. Lord knows how long it would have taken me before I figured out how to tell you about Cole. I'll always be grateful for him and my little stalker. She wiped her mouth.
It was reciprocal stalking, if my memory serves me correctly.
That it was. Our eyes locked. My mind wandered to that amazing blowjob she'd given me earlier. My dick stiffened. I wanted nothing more than to return the favor tonight.
So when do you leave for Vancouver again?
She asked, interrupting my fantasizing. The thought of my upcoming trip filled me with dread. In about a week.
It's a music festival, you said?
Yeah, it's called Beaverstock.
Beaver?
It's a vagina festival. Her eyes widened.
What?
I'm joking. The name apparently comes from the urban beavers that dwell in the city.
Wow, okay.
This is our second year doing it.
When do you go on tour next?
The US leg is in about a month, a dozen cities, then we have a small European tour a few months after that. 12 cities in a row? Yes.
That must be so hectic. Is it nonstop?
Pretty much. Sometimes you get a day or two in between, but I much prefer it that way. I would rather get it over with and have a chunk of time to myself again. I could practically see the fear swirling around in her head, visions of girls and tour buses, bras being flung everywhere, booze spilling, music blaring, cocaine snorting. Her fear was palpable. As crazy as my life can be at times, I said, there are lulls, weeks at a time where I can go away, do what I please. Things are busy now with recording the new album, but once that's done and the tour is over, things will calm down a bit. That statement was an attempt to try to convince her that my life did contain some small periods of normalcy. What will you do when you get home, Luca? She sighed as if the answer was daunting.
I plan to get started on the book I daydreamed about on the ride here.
Do you have to turn it in by a certain time?
No, because I'm way ahead of my deadline. I have lots of wiggle room. I stick to a schedule, but it's not the end of the world if it changes a bit.
That's brilliant. Tell me about your newest character. What's his or her deal?
Well, he's British.
Oh, yeah? I winked. Inspired by anyone in particular?
Well, I'd be lying if I said my interactions with you didn't influence that decision. But you're not a serial killer, and he is, so there's that. That's the main difference.
I shrugged. Details. We got a good laugh at that, and apparently it faded into my staring at her, as I often did, which prompted her to ask.
What?
Nothing. Sometimes I just still can't believe I get to look into your eyes. There's not one time I've looked into them that I haven't thought about how lucky I am to be able to do that. Luca blushed, and it was beautiful, really. I hoped that someday I could see her do that very thing while our bodies were connected as much as our souls always seemed to be. The evening so far had gone off without a hitch, and I should have known that was too good to be true. Because after dinner, when we exited the supposed private door to head to our waiting car, a rush of flashes greeted us. A few paparazzi had been camped out waiting for us to exit. Apparently somewhere beneath the smiles of the people who had served us tonight, there was a mole. Luca's big, beautiful eyes were filled with confusion. Never in my entire career had I ever lost it with a paparazzi. Until now. Back the fuck off! I shouted. It's okay when I'm alone, but this is not cool. She didn't ask for this. Their questions all seemed to blend together. Is she your girlfriend, Cole? Flash, flash, flash. What's her name? Flash, flash. How's the new album coming? Flash, flash, flash. I wrapped both my arms around Luca protectively. Thankfully, the car was right there and we didn't have to wait for it. After we got inside and I closed the door, it became eerily quiet. I misdirected my anger toward the driver. Why didn't you warn me they were out here?
I tried to call your phone, sir. There was no answer.
I checked my phone. There were no missed calls. What the fuck? I didn't know what had happened, whether he had dialed the wrong number or what. That didn't matter. Take us home, please, I told him. I had one job. One job. That was to give Luca a normal night out without interference. I should have known better. I pulled her close. Are you all right?
It happened so fast, yeah. I didn't have much of a chance to react.
Yeah, that's how it is sometimes.
How did they know we were in there?
Someone at the restaurant probably ratted us out. Employees are told not to say anything, but all it takes is one person, one waitress texting her friend or whatever. Then word spreads like wildfire. Normally it doesn't matter. I deal with it. But I wanted so badly to escape it for one night with you. My voice was strained. I'm sorry, Luca. She caressed the stubble on my jaw.
I know it's not your fault.
Yes, it is. I should have known that I couldn't take you anywhere in public and have it be 100% paparazzi free. Things were quiet until the driver let us off in front of my place. The silence continued to follow us into the house and up the winding staircase. She looked tired. I led Luca to her room. Wait for me here, okay, love? Lie down and relax. I'll be back in about 5 minutes. I ventured down the hall to my main bathroom and ran the water in the large tub, testing it with my hand to make sure it was just the right temperature. I was still fuming. All I wanted was to help Luca relax so that she could sleep well tonight. She needed a good night's rest before having to hit the road. After the tub was filled, I returned to her room and held out my hand. Come. She took it and followed me down the hall. When she spotted the tub filled with suds, she asked,
Am I supposed to get in there?
We're gonna get in there. She swallowed. I realized she might have been thinking I had other ideas. Understandably so. I'll keep my knickers on. I just want to hold you. I turned around as a cue for her to undress and get in the water. Just say when. After a couple of minutes, she said, When? Only her head was visible. She gazed at me as I removed my shirt and pants, taking off everything but my boxer briefs. She seemed to notice the tattoo on my chest for the first time and squinted. It was my mother's name intertwined with roses and barbed wire.
Libby, your mother.
She smiled. Yeah, got this about a year after Mum died.
It's beautiful.
Thank you, I said as I slipped into the water behind her. Wrapping my arms around her waist, I pulled her into me, resting my chin on her head before I kissed the top of it. Many thoughts went round and round in my mind. Was I crazy for thinking that this could somehow work? I knew how badly I wanted it to, but was that enough? A part of me wishes I could just stay here in this water with you forever and not have to worry about anything else, I said.
If I was the type of person who fit into your lifestyle, you wouldn't be feeling that way. This would be easy.
Just because something is easy doesn't make it better. We have our issues. But being with you still feels better than anything in the world. Sometimes the best things are also the most challenging, and that's just the way it is. When my hand shifted for the first time and brushed against the underside of her breast, I realized she'd taken her bra off too. Since I hadn't seen her undress, I wasn't sure if she'd opted to keep it on. My cock stiffened at the thought, and I readjusted my position so that she didn't feel it poking into her. As intimate as this bath was, it didn't seem like the appropriate time to get a stiffy.
This feels so good, she said. And I do feel safe when I'm with you, Griffin. I need you to know that. It's everyone else who scares me.
I know that, baby. Right now, it's just us. Let's enjoy it. Luca didn't say anything for the longest time. Then I heard her breathing change. When I leaned my head around to look at her expression, I realized she'd fallen asleep on me. This trip had exhausted her. Later, Luca woke up just long enough to dry off and slip into one of my long t-shirts. I carried her back to her room and placed a chaste kiss on her lips before watching her drift to sleep again. I never went back to my room. Instead, I slipped in beside her and stayed up all night watching her sleep. I knew I would pay for it in the morning, but I couldn't justify willingly falling unconscious at a time like this. The morning sun streamed through the window. Her eyes blinked open as she took notice of me lying next to her.
I didn't know you were here.
I couldn't bring myself to go back to my room.
You were here next to me all night?
Yeah. Does that creep you out?
I write about serial killers, have a pig for a child, and drove cross-country to stalk you. Safe to say, nothing should creep me out.
She smiled, then it faded into a frown. She looked pensive.
What's wrong? I asked. I was just thinking about what one of the photographers shouted at me last night before we got in the car.
My stomach sank. I'd been too busy swearing at them, I hadn't heard every single thing that was thrown in our direction.
What did he say? He said, Eve, is that you? You look great. Keep up the good work.
My head fell. I had to explain. Eve is Eve Varikova.
Who is that?
She's this model I dated briefly several months ago. It was nothing serious. but she's very well known, so the press had a field day when we were spotted out together.
Do I look like her or something?
You have dark hair. That's about it. I think that person must have been smoking crack because she's about a foot taller than you.
Why did he say keep up the good work?
Because Eve had a drug problem that I didn't know about when I started seeing her. Soon after, she went into rehab. I haven't spoken to her since, but I hear she's doing well. I took a deep breath in because I could tell by the look on Luca's face that she was overthinking everything again. She was probably going to start Googling Eve the second she got into the RV, and that would lead to more searches resulting in false information about me. It truly made me sick.
Will you promise me something? I asked.
She nodded.
Okay.
Will you try not to Google me? Most of what you find will be garbage, or even better, Google me, but do it with me while I'm on the phone or beside you. Just let me be there to explain what's truth and what's not.
I'll never lie to you. I just hate the idea of you reading all of this shit and not knowing what to believe.
She looked like she was struggling with that. I knew it would be extremely hard for her to really follow through on that promise. If I put myself in her shoes, I wasn't entirely sure I could stop myself.
She blinked for a while, seeming to seriously consider my request.
Okay,
she finally said.
I had to think about it to make sure I could make that type of a promise and mean it. I promise not to Google you without you knowing.
I breathed out a sigh of relief. Thank you. I know it won't be easy, but I promise you're not missing anything of value. I can tell you everything you need to know that's important. And if you ever have any questions, you just have to ask me.
She reached her hand out and brought my face into hers. The desire bubbling inside me transformed quickly into urgent need as I kissed her passionately.
Are you sure there's nothing I can do to convince you to stay longer? I whispered over her lips. She didn't have to answer. I already knew. While the price of fame was high, I'd never downright wished I could make it all disappear. That was before Luca. At this very moment, if given a choice, I would have foregone the fan-crazed 12-city tour I had coming up soon enough for a road trip across the country in a broken-down RV.
Chapter 19. Luca. I'd never heard Hortensia oink so much in my life. After picking her up from the farm she'd been staying at, I unlocked my front door to find that somehow the place that had always been my safe haven felt a whole lot emptier. It was still early, too early to call Griffin on West Coast time, so I sent him a text, hoping he'd receive it when he woke up. Luca. Made it home safely. To my surprise, he immediately responded. Griffin.
Thank God. I was so worried about you and that damn clunker.
Luca. What are you doing up? Griffin.
I haven't really been sleeping.
Luca. Well, I'm safe and sound. Griffin.
I miss you like crazy. I have a million things to do, but I have no energy. I'm fucking depressed.
Luca. That was how I felt when I walked in here. Home is usually my happy place. It feels different now. Griffin.
You left your Furby here. The housekeeper brought it to me with a confused look on her face.
Luca. If she only knew the half of it. Griffin.
Sigh. Luca, Luca, Luca. I need to see you again.
I wanted to ask him when and if he thought that would be possible, but at the same time I wasn't sure he could know the answer. He was just finishing an album and now had to leave for Canada soon. Luca. Are you all packed for Vancouver? Griffin.
That would be a negative. Like I said, no motivation.
I'd had a lot of time to think during the ride. One of the things nagging at me was the need to listen to the song Griffin had written, the one that I had assumed was about me, based on the title. Technically, that would have meant Googling him, which I'd promised not to do. Luca. I have a confession. Griffin.
Okay.
Luca. I had to stop myself from Googling you several times on the ride home. I want you to know I didn't give in once. But there is one thing I really want to know more about. Griffin.
All right. What is it?
I could sense his agitation. Luca. Your song, the one called Luca. My phone suddenly rang. It was him. I picked up. Hey.
I was going to tell you about that. I wasn't sure if you knew. You never mentioned it, so I figured maybe you hadn't discovered it yet.
Well, I saw it online and never had a chance to actually hear the lyrics.
Luca, listen. When I wrote that song, I didn't know.
I know that. It's okay. I won't take it personally.
It's basically the musical version of the letter I sent you when I was drunk. A glorified, angry rant that happened to sell millions of copies.
Can I hear it? He let out a long breath into the phone.
Of course.
Is it okay if I pull it up on YouTube now? He sounded a little defeated.
Yeah, sure. I'll be right here.
With Griffin on the line, I opened my laptop, logged in, and punched in Luca Cole Archer into the search bar. A version of the video that had the words to the song listed as subtitles popped up. I pressed play. Opening music. There was Griffin's gorgeous face as he sang the first words.
The letters were the window to your soul, before you left me with a giant hole. When you disappeared into thin air and proved you didn't really care. Now I see your soul was black, because you're never coming back. You're nothing but ink and lies, a devil in disguise. Luca, 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 were you just a dream? Luca, 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 you make me want to scream. Luca, 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 are you happy now? Luca, 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 if so, baby, take a bow. Looks like the joke was on me, so blinded by love I couldn't see. In the end, you were never my friend. The really messed up part, you're still living in my heart, and if I had to do it all again, I'd still have lifted that damn pen. Luca, 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 were you just a dream? Luca, 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 you make me want to scream. Luca, 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 are you happy now? Luca, 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 if so, baby, take a bow. Take a bow. Take a bow. Take a bow. Luca, Luca, Luca. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I must have listened to it 100 times over the next 24 hours. While beautiful, the song had a heavy, sad vibe, which totally went with my melancholy mood. One particular part kept replaying in my mind over and over. Luca, 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 were you just a dream? Because last week was beginning to feel like just that, like it had been one big fantasy in my dreams, one that was incredible, but would forever be just out of my reach. I dragged my ass around like someone had died for most of the day today. I'd managed to write, but I was pretty sure that my characters had caught my blues, and my thriller was turning into a women's fiction ugly cry. Since I'd cleaned out my refrigerator before my trip to California, I had no food in the house, and a middle-of-the-night trip to the supermarket was inevitable. The parking lot was almost empty, and I breezed down the aisles without seeing a single person until I got up to the checkout line. Doris was ringing up a young guy's groceries and smiled at me. I hadn't mentioned my road trip to California to her, or anything about Griffin, for that matter, which I was glad about now, because the last thing I felt like doing was talking about it. My emotions were all over the place, and I probably would have burst into tears telling her how great it had been finally meeting the man I'd crushed on for more than a decade. The guy in front of me in line sure did have a shitload of tattoos. When I finally stopped wallowing in my own self-pity long enough to take a good look at him, I noticed he also had safety pins outlining his jaw. Actual safety pins just pierced through his skin and clipped right into his face. The 2 in the morning crowd was always interesting. He caught me staring, and I diverted my eyes, failing at pretending I hadn't been scrutinizing him and wondering what the hell made him think it was a good idea to do such a thing. My eyes landed on the candy rack next to me. Trying to look legit, I grabbed a Hershey bar from the shelf and tossed it into the cart. The shelf to the right of the candy held tabloids, so I picked one up and started to mindlessly thumb through, until I hit page 3. My eyes bugged out of my head. A picture of Griffin and me walking out of the restaurant. I couldn't believe it. Griffin had one hand held out, making sure the photographers kept at arm's length, and the other wrapped around my shoulders. My face was turned into his chest, away from the photographer, so it would be difficult for most people to even tell it was me from my partial profile. But of course, I knew. I'm in the Enquirer. Oh my God. I read the caption below it. Cole Archer and Mystery Woman get cozy at Mariano's in downtown LA. Is the crooner missing his old flame Eve Varakova by replacing her with lookalikes? My stomach sank. I wasn't sure what bothered me more, seeing my picture in a tabloid or the mention that Griffin could be trying to replace an old girlfriend. I knew the latter was ridiculous because Griff had told me about her. Yet it upset me for some reason anyway. Earth to Luca! I caught Doris waving in my peripheral vision. Looking up, I blinked a few times and realized Pinface was gone, and Doris had been waiting on me while I had an internal freakout over some dumb magazine. Hi, sorry, I held up the National Enquirer in my hand. I got caught up in one of the articles. Doris leaned over to look at what had captured my attention. Cole Archer? I don't usually go for men under 40, but I wouldn't kick him out of bed for eating crackers. She wiggled her eyebrows and whispered, I'd like to lick the crumbs off that one. My eyes widened to saucers, which Doris thought was the funniest thing. Of course, she thought it was because she'd shocked me by talking dirty about a young guy, since she had no clue I'd actually been in Griffin's bed last week. My cheeks began to flush and I became flustered. I put the tabloid on the checkout conveyor. I like to read the articles. Doris chuckled, thinking I was being coy. You and me both, sister. For the next 10 minutes, I was in a total haze while emptying my cart and chatting with Doris. I couldn't get over the fact that my face was plastered all over a supermarket tabloid. It gave me a funny feeling in the pit of my stomach, yet I wasn't sure why. Being inside the grocery store always made me anxious, but this heightened that feeling. It felt like someone had violated my personal space, even though it was only a photo and no one would likely recognize me from it. At the last second, right as I was about to swipe my card to pay, I turned and grabbed all of the copies of the National Enquirer from the shelf. Doris's face scrunched up. You want to buy all of those? Yes. They all say the same thing, you know. I got a new bird and need something to line the cage. Oh, I can probably get the manager to set aside some of the newspapers that don't sell for you if you want. We just rip off the front page and give it to the delivery guy for a refund credit. The rest goes into the recycle bin. Yeah, sure. That would be great, Doris. Thank you. No problem. Doris scanned the tabloids and I swiped my card to pay. What's his name? Huh? Her brows drew down. Your bird. What's its name? God, I was digging myself deep. I said the first name that popped into my head. Chester. My bird's name is Chester. That's a good, strong name. Yeah, Chester the bird. He's something else. I tossed the last of my bags into my cart, anxious to get out of there. I'd been in such a rush, I almost forgot to leave Doris the items I'd picked up for her. I took a few steps back after saying goodbye and lifted the bag of treats onto the counter. Have a good night, Doris. You too, honey. I'll see you soon. Once I was safely inside my car, I took out the tabloid again and stared at it. A thought hit me as I sat there with the engine idling. There had been a few photographers, so might I be in other papers too? Maybe with my head at a different angle so that my face was identifiable? Even though being in the confines of my car usually brought me relief after my supermarket trip, I suddenly felt the same type of panic that I experienced right before going inside. It was 2:30 in the morning in Vermont, but only 11:30 in California. Griffin was a night owl, so I dug out my phone and called him. He answered on the first ring. Hey, baby, you're up late. My shoulders relaxed a little just hearing his voice. I sighed. Hey. Everything okay? I just went to the supermarket. Oh, how'd that go? What crazy shit did you see tonight? I'd forgotten that I'd shared with him some of the bizarre things I'd seen during my middle-of-the-night trips, though the thing I'd seen tonight topped them all. I saw a picture of me, a picture of us, in the National Enquirer. Griffin hissed.
Shit. Damn that Marty Foster.
Who?
One of the photographers from the restaurant. I had my assistant reach out to the others and buy the photos they'd taken. But Marty wouldn't return our phone calls. I was hoping it was because he didn't get a good shot and had nothing to sell. Guess I was wrong.
From the tone of his voice, I pictured Griffin raking his hand through his hair.
I'm sorry, Luca. I tried.
Oh my God, don't be ridiculous. It's not your fault. I can't believe you bought the other photos. I didn't even realize you could do that.
Money buys pretty much anything in this town. Paparazzi don't care who buys their work, only that they get paid. Plus, I offered them more than they'd fetch with the tabloids, so the other three were happy to sell them to me.
It's so sweet that you did that. But really, it's not necessary. I don't want you wasting your money on stuff like that.
Anything I spend that might make you happy or less stressed is a good use of my greenbacks, Luca.
That anxious feeling in my chest settled a little bit more. Thank you, Griffin.
No need for thanks. Just trying to look out for my girl.
I took a deep breath in of my girl and exhaled out the National Enquirer. So did I wake you? What were you doing?
Nah, I have some company tonight. The guys in my band came over. We're celebrating wrapping the album this afternoon. We were slated to finish tomorrow, but we were able to knock it out a day early.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. That's amazing. You must be so happy.
Yeah, I'm pretty stoked about the way it came out.
That's great. But I'll let you go. I didn't realize you had company. It's so quiet in the background.
I stepped out into the backyard when I saw your number come up. I'm sure I'll get a good ribbing when I go back inside.
What would they tease you about?
They're calling me whipped.
Whipped?
As in pussy whipped. Apparently that's a popular expression in America. It means your woman has you on a tight leash.
I laughed. I know what it means. I was just asking why they would call you that.
Oh. Normally when we end a tour or wrap a recording, we have a wild party to celebrate. But I wasn't up for wild tonight. So I told the guys they could come over, but no women allowed. And now I'm on the phone with you.
You didn't want their girlfriends to come?
They don't have girlfriends, Luca. Their idea of a party is booze, a bunch of groupies, and a few strippers.
Oh.
Anyway, it's just us blokes tonight.
I should let you get back then.
Nah, rather talk to you than listen to their stories. I've heard every one of them 10 times by now. Shit tends to get repeated when you spend months traveling on a bus with the same people.
I smiled. I bet.
So tell me, how did you handle seeing your face in the tabloids for the first time?
For the first time? I might have hyperventilated a little.
It gets easier.
I'd been so caught up in how I felt seeing my face plastered in print that I never stopped to think about what it must be like for Griffin. The tabloids only took my picture because I'd been with him. This was just a small taste of what he must go through every day.